Welcome to Simple Acts, Big Impact. I'm Natalie Silverstein. Each week, I'll introduce you to young people who are making a difference in their communities through nonprofits, social entrepreneurship, volunteerism, and activism. I hope you'll be inspired by these conversations, which prove that every person, no matter their age, can help to create a kinder world. I'm delighted to kick off season four of Simple Acts, Big Impact with this inspiring conversation with Sophie Kay, a high school student from California who's recently launched organization Chains of Hope, benefits charities supporting the people of Ukraine. As a first-generation Ukrainian-American whose parents emigrated to the U.S. after World War II, I was deeply touched by Sophie's heart for the Ukrainian people who continue to suffer after more than 3 years of conflict. Sophie's also involved in environmental causes and fostering productive and civil discourse among her peers. This is just a very special episode to me personally and a perfect way to launch a new season. Welcome back, everyone. I'm so excited to introduce you to my new friend, Sophie. She is working in a space that is really special and meaningful to me personally. So I'm really excited to talk to her about Chains of Hope. Hey, Sophie, thanks for being here. How are you?
Thank you so much for having me, Natalie. I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. So why don't you tell everyone how old you are, where you live, what grade you're going into, all that good stuff, and tell us the whole story of Chains of Hope, how it got started, and what it's all about.
Got it. I'm Sophie. I'm 17 years old, and I'm from Huntington Beach, California. I'm going into my senior year of high school, and I first started, not Chains of Hope, but I first started fundraising for Ukraine when I was in eighth grade. That was when Russia invaded, February 2022. And I remember being on a video call with one of my friends for hours that day, just watching the live stream and events unfolding in real time. And I felt a very strong sense of powerlessness. And I wasn't really sure what to do. And I didn't really think that I could do anything. About a week later, I was lucky enough to attend an award ceremony at Chapman University. I was a finalist in their Holocaust Awareness Film Contest, and I had written a song using quotes from a Holocaust survivor's testimony and created a video around it. And at the ceremony, the speakers drew connections between the war unfolding in Ukraine and World War II, and a lot of them said that they were seeing echoes of their experience. And something that really stuck with me was they handed out sunflower seed packets as a tribute to Ukraine and explained that sunflowers are Ukraine's national flower and a symbol of hope. And they really stressed that people in the audience should take this moment in history to not be bystanders. And I thought that was a really powerful message. And so the next day I went to my English teacher who ran our school's community service chapter. And I asked her, is there any way we could potentially do a fundraiser for Ukraine as our next project? And she said yes. So I designed flyers, we shared them with all of our members. And then we also put them up at our school's open house. And we like decorated them with like the sunflower seed packets. And within a couple of weeks, we were able to raise over $2,000. Yeah. after that initial fundraiser, I honestly didn't really know what to do next. I didn't really have any ideas for like how this could continue. And so I was also getting involved with some other causes at the time. And so I kind of just, I guess, put Ukraine on pause. Like I didn't think I could contribute. I didn't really know what to do next. But then in my junior year of high school, I started running merchandise for my school's WANA UN program. So I independently designed and sourced an entirely new merch line, which included stainless steel gavel-shaped keychains, embroidered organic cotton hats, and custom stickers and things like that. And all of the profits from that went towards funding scholarships for students who couldn't afford to attend travel conferences. And then when I saw the events unfolding with the White House confrontation between Zelensky and Trump and Vance, it really reminded me of how powerless I felt in eighth grade. I cried.
And P.S., here we are 3 years later, right?
Yeah.
That was 3 years after the fact. The war had been going on for 3 years. And here we are. We're sort of, we haven't, nothing
exactly.
has changed, right?
Exactly. If anything, it's gotten worse.
Right.
But yeah, that like really just like emotionally destroyed me for a bit. I cried while I was watching that video. And I feel like I've never had another moment where I felt so incredibly ashamed to be American. So when they were insulting Zelensky for not dressing formally enough, I started doing more research on the Ukrainian trident symbol and just how important it is as a symbol of Ukrainian strength. And I was like, I want one of those on a necklace. And I wasn't able to find the like specific design the way I wanted it. And then that's sort of when I had my epiphany. I was like, I should apply the same skills that I used to source MUN merch to fundraise for Ukraine. And so that's kind of how Chains of Hope was born. So we create Ukraine-inspired jewelry where 100% of profits go to organizations like President Zelensky's United 24, Maya's Hope, and United Help Ukraine. So every necklace sold helps fund medical supplies, supports Ukrainian children, and helps Ukraine defend democracy. And it's my way of making sure that I'm not a bystander.
Wow. Well, Sophie, this is very moving to me, which I shared with you before we started recording. I am Ukrainian. My parents came from Ukraine after World War II, and I was born here in the United States, but I am 100% Ukrainian American, and that is very much part of my identity. You are correct that Srizub is very, very special. You will see it on bumper stickers. It is, you know, very much a national symbol, similar to the stars and stripes here, the yellow and blue flag, of course, we all know so well. And the sunflower, you're absolutely right. The sunflower is such a special symbol of Ukraine. Unfortunately, I've never visited the country. My mom was able to go back once after she immigrated to the United States in 1949, but I wasn't able to go with her because I was pregnant with one of my children. So I'm very moved by this. I'm particularly moved by the fact that you are not, I'm going to assume, in any way Ukrainian in ethnicity.
No, I'm not.
And that seeing what was unfolding there upset you and moved you to act, and even initially in terms of the sunflower seeds and just a general fundraiser. I think everyone saw what was unfolding in February of 22 and was shocked by it, to think that a sovereign country could just be sort of invaded for no reason without any provocation. The fact that it's continued now after 3 years, the number of people who have been displaced, more people displaced, I think it's 8 million Ukrainians displaced out of their homeland, which is the largest migration of European, Eastern Europeans since World War II, and the number of children that have been kidnapped and have been taken from their families. And unfortunately, as with most conflicts, as you pointed out, people get a little tired of them, or if they're not in the news every day, top of mind, people sort of begin to forget. And I understand that because it isn't happening to them. And we have a lot of our own problems in this country, sadly. And there are a lot of problems around the world. So we have this fatigue almost, like we can't pay attention to everyone's suffering, or else we would never be able to get out of bed in the morning. But the fact that it was renewed for you recently, after different events of this year, and that you started this wonderful jewelry business. So I love that you have both you have one necklace that says Stand with Ukraine, which is wonderful, and another with the Trizub. I just think it's such a beautiful, your heart for this is really very moving to me. So thank you. I just want to say thank you for that. Tell me a little bit more about the making of the jewelry. How did you find someone to do that for you? I wouldn't even know where to begin to have something like that created. And then you're selling them online on a website, which we will reference at the end and make sure we put in the show notes.
There are websites online that will connect you with suppliers overseas. So basically what I did was I put out like a request for quotes. I put out the design and like the quantity of how much I wanted to start with. And then I basically just started getting quotes from suppliers saying like, this is how much we can do it for. And then from there, actually, one of the major challenges I faced was I was launching this like around the time of Trump's tariffs. So
oh my gosh. Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
Bad timing there, but
yeah, very bad timing. Yeah, that was definitely a very, very, I guess, interesting experience. I think there were a lot of suppliers that just like were not clear in terms of like what was going on, and so they were like kind of hesitant to like actually quote for things. That also like ended up delaying the launch of our project for a while, which was really unfortunate.
I also noticed that United 24 posted about you
and
had a picture of you and said, look at this 17-year-old American who cares about the Ukrainian people and is an ally. I think that's really wonderful. So how did they find out about you?
Yeah, so I reached out to them about this project back before like we had actually like sourced them, because like I was in the process of reaching out to suppliers, and I was like, I'd gotten samples and I was wondering if this was something that would actually end up becoming something. So I reached out to them and was like, would y'all be interested in like this project? Is there any way that like I could work with y'all? And they were like, we could feature you on our social media.
That's
and
amazing.
I was like, okay.
That's amazing. Wow. Sophie, this is just so wonderful. I can't wait to share it with people so that they can go out and buy their necklaces. I'm going to buy them myself and give them away as gifts. I just think it's terrific. And I've, you know, obviously after the war started, there were so many other types of things like this. Artists who did things and, you know, clothing designers, many people who support artists from Ukraine whose businesses have been displaced or whatever. You know, every little bit does help. And what I love about this is you're wearing a symbol on your body that reminds people that this is going on, right? So every day someone might see it and be like, oh, right, that's still happening out there in the world. So I just think it's really fantastic, and I'm wishing you the best of luck, and I hope that I can help to make it even spread further. Can you quickly tell us about the other work that you're involved in? I know you have Bipartisan Bridges and an environmental group, the Clean and Green Initiative. I mean, you're so socially, you know, active, and it's just really wonderful, and you must be so busy with your schoolwork and everything else. So tell us a little bit about both of those.
Yeah, okay. But one thing really quickly is the necklace design, the main one that we have right now, we're trying to expand to other designs as well. It's actually a two-sided, so like you can reverse it.
Oh, fun.
Whichever way you'd like. Yeah, so you can do the Ukrainian trident, or you can do I Stand With Ukraine.
That's awesome. I didn't realize that. That wasn't clear to me, so I like it even more. It's even better.
Thank you.
So tell us about the other two organizations.
Yeah. So, okay. Bipartisan Bridges is a project related to political depolarization. We've worked with an organization called Braver Angels, which is a 501c3 nonprofit that's also focused on addressing political depolarization within the United States. And earlier this year, we hosted a cohort where we brought together high school students from opposite sides of the political spectrum to engage in constructive dialogue on issues facing the nation. We're currently working on uploading some of our videos from that series. Our YouTube handle is at Bipartisan Bridges, and then our website is bipartisanbridges.org. And then the Clean and Green Initiative is an environmental nonprofit that I've been working on since I was 12 years old. I guess during COVID was sort of the time that I got more involved with environmentalism, because environmental news was sort of like at the forefront at that time, since there wasn't really anything else to report on.
Absolutely.
So we currently have more than 700 members spanning 30 something countries. And we also have a team of more than 30 volunteers. And some of the projects we worked on include a food waste audit and reports. And we have a blog, social media. We did a short series where we interviewed climate heroes. And then we're running a contest called the Sound, Scenes, and Stories of Nature Contest, which has a $500 prize pool. And anyone in the world can enter. You just have to visit tcagi.org/nature-contest. Basically, just submit like anything related to nature. It could be a picture, a video, even an audio recording. We also accept poetry, drawings, pieces of art, etc.
So you're letting people sort of think about this topic creatively.
Right.
Expressing themselves in a creative way. Well, don't worry, everybody. There's a lot here in this episode, so I'm going to have everything in the show notes so you'll be able to log on and to check everything out. Well, Sophie, this is just such wonderful work. First of all, the fact that you've been doing some of this since you're 12 years old or whatever just shows me, you know, you have such a tremendous heart. And also, not just that you care, but that you want to take action. And that's really the purpose of this podcast, is to inspire young people who care passionately about different subjects to not just sort of spin about them, but to take the first steps to do something, because every little bit is, you know, is going to make a difference. Even the tiniest stone thrown into the water makes a ripple. And so I just want to applaud you for, you know, caring about all these different issues and actually doing something about them. So I hope that inspires everyone who's listening here today. So tell me quickly, just Chains of Hope is what that website is, so folks can check that out right away. I will include the Clean and Green Initiative and Bipartisan Bridges as well in the show notes. So tell me the social media handles for that.
Yeah, so our website is chainsofhope.org, and we're currently working on setting up our social media, but it should be also linked on our website.
Amazing. Awesome. Well, Sophie, I just want to say thank you again personally for me and my family And my mom and dad, who are no longer with us, I know that if they were, they would just be so touched and so moved that a young person would hear the plight of the Ukrainian people and want to do something to help. And so I am sure that you will. Thank you so, so much for being a guest today. Take care.
Thank you. You too.
Thanks for listening. If you are inspired by what you heard today and would like to support the creation of this podcast and the work of the changemaker I featured, please visit my website, simpleactsguide.com/podcast, to make a donation. And please follow, rate, and review the podcast to help us spread these positive messages.